This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. Welcome. And we're going to call the House Ag and Natural Resources Committee to order. Want to greet everybody, listeners on the internet too. Pretty warm place to be listening this morning is on the internet, so we probably have a few. At this time, let's shut our cell phones down or put them on silent so we don't get interrupted. Just a reminder from the chair. And with that, I'm going to ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Blair.
Here.
Chase.
Here.
Fink, excused. Goodwin.
Here.
Gladner.
Here.
Lesmeister, excused. Marty. Excused. Schneider.
Here.
Vasgard.
Here.
Wink.
Here.
York.
Here.
Hoffman.
Here.
Overweg.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Now we're going to go to the approval minutes, but we have a correction to put into the minutes, right? And it's been so. If someone would make the motion to approve
I'll
the
move,
corrected
I'll
moments.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes with the change in sentence.
Does anybody need to hear the change?
Thank you.
Would a second be in order then, please?
Second.
There we go. We have a motion. We have a motion by Representative Hoffman and seconded by Representative Wink to approve the minutes. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes will stand approved as corrected. Remind testifiers that please sign in if you plan on testifying in the back. Lobbyists, make sure you're wearing your appropriate badges. If you have handouts, we are going to let our pages do the handing out for us. And with that, would you please each come up front? Just give us a couple things about where you're from, what school you go to, and where you hope to go to afterwards. Please, don't be shy.
I'm Erica Ingerson, and I am from Eureka, South Dakota, where I go to school. And after high school, I plan to attend Mitchell Tech for machining and manufacturing.
Very nice.
I'm Morgan Dahman. I go to Gerritsen High School in Gerritsen. And after high school, I plan to attend USD for law.
There you go. Well, great. Thank you guys for being here. Any other personal privileges by the committee? Okay, seeing none. Remind everybody that testimony will go through the chair. And with that, let's get to work on our first bill, House Bill 1156, Revised Provisions Regarding Weed Removal Along Highways. Welcome, Representative Chase.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and fellow members of the House Ag Committee. Roger Chase, District 22, State Representative. Bring to you today House Bill 1156. When I first introduced this bill, I'll tell you what it's not. One of the lobbyists for the marijuana industry came up and said, I'm glad that you sponsored a bill with marijuana. And I says, well, what do you mean? He said, weed and crops in the ditches. And I said, no, nothing could be farther from the truth, folks. But what House Bill 1156 is sometimes it's hard to come across with the legislature on a common sense bill. But, folks, that's what we have today. And that is any crops in the right-of-way, road right-of-ways, need to be removed. And the reason being is they are an obstruction, they are a hazard, they are a problem. And if you come to an intersection of any roads in South Dakota, you want to be able to have clear visibility and see what's coming from another direction. And so this was brought to me by the Township Association. We realize that there are crops being planted in road right-of-ways, and we need to get those removed in the fall so we can alleviate those hazards. What's causing this? $6 corn and $14 soybeans, and the temptation that, oh, if I can just get another half an acre, boy, that sure be nice, and stretching that to the limit. So that's what House Bill 1156 is to remove crops from the road right away and alleviate those concerns so people have the clear visibility and they don't present hazards later on during the crop year. So with that, I'll stand by for questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1156. Welcome.
Good morning.
morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Cody Karras. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. We want to thank Representative Chase for bringing this bill forward. Just a couple of things in addition for you guys to consider. As you guys can see, this bill just simply takes existing law, which already allows for the cutting and removal, or you know, this, or the ability to destroy other issues such as grass, weeds, trees, and brush. So this just simply adds the word crops in there. And I guess perhaps the more significant, you know, components to this would be the, just like how those other things can be removed, destroyed, and assessed against a potential property owner. This would allow the same for the individual townships to do that. Now, to be clear, they would have to make that decision at their annual meeting, where the majority vote would determine that. So it's not automatic, but that's just something for the committee to consider. And additionally, there is an attorney general opinion out there that does kind of touch on this, but you know, with an AG opinion, it's not necessarily, you know, precedence, as it's not case law. And additionally, it doesn't necessarily make it overly clear. It does talk about the potential removal of any type of farming at a section line if it's, you know, determined, if there's a factual determination made by each township board that it's obstructing. But it's, again, it's not necessarily clear. And because of that, there's many townships who are hesitant to want to, I guess, cite that as their authority. And so we're just respectfully asking the committee to add this into existing law to make things much more clear. And so with that, we ask you to vote green. I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1156. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to 1156? Well, all right. So, no rebuttal, really. Do you? So let's go to committee questions. Any committee questions? Representative Goodwin.
Yes, before the township's proponent, I'm not going to put you on the spot. Yeah, you talked about the right of way, and that's what we're not going to—that they're not going to farm anymore. Can you? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. If you don't know, we can just get it later. But what's the distance from the center road to the field that's that right of way?
You could have asked me,
Mr. Chair. Cody Karras, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. I phoned a friend here, and it's been relayed to me that it's about 33 feet approximately. Yep.
Thank you. Representative Wink.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. It's my understanding from the testimony that the townships are responsible for monitoring this. Is that true? And then what would be the penalties? Are there any penalties in this law that in case farmers don't want to cooperate, can you bring us into what's going to be on the books after this if it's passed?
Mr. Chair, Cody Karras, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. Representative, generally, yes, the current law does have the townships, each individual township are the ones responsible for the general safety and maintenance of the right-of-way. As I said, there's some law that where they can they got to make sure things are not obstructed. As far as your second question goes, what's the penalty? There's no criminal type of implication. It would just be what if the township had to move forward and get it removed themselves or hire someone to remove it themselves, they would then have the ability at their annual meeting to, by majority vote, assess the costs, whatever it was, against that property owner.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what if the townships I'm familiar with, I belong to two of them, and they're just neighbors, what if the neighbors say, they agree that we're not going to abide by this? And they just agree to disagree with what we're doing here today.
Mr. Chair. You know, Representative, I guess if they were to disagree, I mean, it would just make it just that much more likely than that the township board of supervisors, the ones that are in charge of this, would have to make that determination as to whether or not to remove it themselves and to assess the costs, even if the property owners don't necessarily agree.
Representative Vasgard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I should clarify this a little bit as a township supervisor. There is some liability out there. If there's an accident caused by crops being grown too close to the road, then the townships become liable. So there is some liability out there. And the question we've always had at a township is we're allowed to take the brush and the grass and cut and maintain the ditches, but the crop growing in the ditches has always been that question. So this will give us the opportunity to go out there and mow up to our 33 feet and take care of it. If they're planting in the ditch, we would then have the right to destroy whatever is in the township ditch, is my understanding of it. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further questions? Representative Schneider.
Thank you. Maybe a little follow-up to Representative Wink's point, but I think I understand the bill says so the township has this authority under this bill to assess this cost, fix it and so forth, make sure it gets done, and then either put it back on the landowner to pay it or the township has an option to pay it themselves. That's one of my questions. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, yes, that is correct, Representative. Just because if the township did decide to move forward to have it removed, it doesn't necessarily mean that they will for sure assess that cost. That would be something that they would have to determine at the annual meeting.
Okay, Mr. Chair, then a follow-up.
Go ahead.
So it also talks in the bill about, again, to Representative Wink's point, if that job becomes necessary and the township takes it in their own hands, gets it done and decides to charge the landowner and he doesn't pay it, it reads something like it becomes a tax on the land. So does it carry the same weight as a regular real estate tax, as a super priority lien, et cetera? So someday it will have to be paid?
Mr. Chair. Representative, I would need to probably look into that to more specifics. But, I mean, generally, yes, it would in some way, shape, or form have to be paid one day.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? Oh, Representative Blair.
Just follow up to that. At our Cracker Barrel, it was brought up. Right now, who is responsible for, like, junipers and weeds on township ditches?
Mr. Chair. Representative, I would need to double check, but I believe that would again fall under the purview of the respective township board and the supervisors.
Okay, thank you. We're just clarifying because we didn't know if it's the landowner, townships, or the county. That was the question.
Okay, further questions? Representative Fink.
I think I can actually answer that last question a little bit further. So it depends upon the height. So if you're talking about trees in the ditch, if they're still at a, I think the language in law actually says mowable height, then it's the responsibility of the landowner. Once it's beyond that, then it's the responsibility of the township.
Okay, further committee questions? Seeing none. We're going to close public testimony. We're going to go into committee discussion and or action. Or action. Representative Blair.
I move do pass House Bill 1156.
Okay, it's been moved by Representative Blair and seconded by Representative Goodwin to do pass House Bill 1156. Comments on your motion, sir?
Yeah, I think this is well presented. I think this is something that it's definitely a safety issue. We need clarification for our townships, and I think this accomplishes that. I think it's a good bill.
Further comment? Seeing none, we have a motion to do pass House Bill 1156. Would the Secretary please call the roll?
Representative Blair.
Aye.
Chase.
Aye.
Vink.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Gladner.
Aye.
Lesmeister excused. Marty.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Baskard.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Overweg.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 12 yeas and one excused.
Okay, receiving the amount of votes it need, House Bill 1156 will go to the floor with a due pass motion.
Do that consent.
I know, I'm just thinking that.
My bills always get pulled off consent anyway.
Let's try it.
Yeah, but we there's no money in it, and we had no opponent, so the chair's going
to.
Yeah, chair's going to put it on consent, and then whoever wants to do what they do, they can do. Okay. Okay, we're going to move this thing around a little bit. We're going to take House Bill 1321. Prohibit frivolous and, oh boy, that's a big word, vexatious complaints against commercial pesticide applicators and to provide a penalty therefore. Any proponent testimony? Welcome, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Tim Goodwin from District 30 and members of the committee, I should add. House Bill 1321, an act to prohibit frivolous, vexatious complaints and commercial pesticide applications and provide a penalty thereof. Before I ask somebody to table the bill, I thought I should say what vexatious is.
I think a lot of people would appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I looked it up. So this is Webster for you. Causing or tending to cause annoyance, frustration, or worry. And what this bill was intended to do, we're going to table it today. At least I hope we will. But it was for people that buy an acreage out in the country and the farmland next year, they come and they spray it, and they're doing frivolous lawsuits against them because they say the spray got over the land. And I went and watched the crop sprayers do this, and they are, I mean, they are studious. I mean, they go through all kinds of precautions. But this bill, they want to wait till next year. They cut a deal last night, and they're going to fix it up a little better, and we'll bring it back next year. So I humbly ask for someone to table it.
Representative Fink.
I move we table.
Second. It has been moved by Representative Fink and seconded by Representative Ladner to table House Bill 1321. This is non-debatable. Then the Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Blair.
Aye.
Chase.
Aye.
Fink.
Aye.
Goodwin?
Aye.
Gladner?
Aye.
Lesmeister excused. Marty?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
Baskard?
Aye.
Wink?
Aye.
York?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Nay.
Overweg?
I like
aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 11 yeas, one nay, and one excused.
Okay, receiving the amount of votes, that motion passes, and House Bill 1321 is tabled. All right. Let's move around here. Well, about what we have to do is the next bill we're going to take is House Bill 1316. Revised provisions regarding soil health and resource conservation and forestry and conservation districts. Welcome, Mr. Leader. Okay. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1316. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jamie Smith, a representative from District 15. Today I bring you House Bill 1316, which is a revision to code to add in soil health to a chapter in code. Soil health is a very important topic that we've learned a lot more about, and it's time that we update this code. We're going to hear from a couple proponents, and then I believe we're going to hear that this whole chapter is been added to so many times and changed over the years that we're going to need to do a rewrite on that. And so you're going to hear that today very briefly. And so I appreciate your attention to House Bill 1316.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1316.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Paul Lepisto, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League of America. And just some brief comments on this. As Representative Smith said, soil health, as all of you know, is very important. The soil is foundation for nearly everything we do in South Dakota. The 2018 Farm Bill had some soil health provisions, and the good news is the 23 Farm Bill will have even more provisions regarding soil health across the country. The League is also very hopeful that the 23 Farm Bill will include the State and Tribal Soil Health Grant Program, which will be able to provide more funding for states and tribes to implement soil health plans in their areas. And if it's enacted, the states that are ahead of the game, so to speak, in soil health will have a priority or a leg up on that federal funding. So this is an issue that is going to come back in front of you. The analogy I would use in regards to 1316, if your garage needs new shingles, odds are pretty high your house needs new shingles as well. So we would favor the rewrite of the entire chapter as well and urge you to do the same.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1316. Seeing none, is there any neutral testimony to House Bill 1316? Here comes our first neutral testimony, and boy, the gavel comes out. It's like, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Aunt Angela Ehlers, and I represent South Dakota's Conservation Districts. And Representative Hoffman, I already cleared my testimony with the chair. I want to make sure I follow the rules, and I appreciate being the first of something for you guys. House Bill 1316 proposes changes to the enabling legislation of South Dakota's Conservation Districts, SDCL 38-8. As of Sunday, this legislation will be 85 years old. So, happy birthday. As you can imagine, the law is not in the same form it was in 1937. It had major reviews in 1968 and 1994, as well as tweaks through multiple amendments. With the amendments over the years, inconsistencies and contradictions can be found in the code. You recall this committee in the House corrected one of those inconsistencies last week as we discussed the timeline for combining conservation districts. This summer, the conservation districts would like to work with our partners and appropriate LRC staff to review the chapter, resolve inconsistency and contradictions, and consider additional language. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, and good job.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoffman.
Mr. Chair, I move we table House Bill 1316.
Second.
It has been moved by Representative Hoffman and seconded by Representative Fink to table House Bill 1316. This is a non-debatable motion. Will the Secretary call the roll?
Representative Blair.
Aye.
Chase.
Aye.
Fink.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Bladner.
Aye.
Lesmeister excused. Marty.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Bascard.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Overweek.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 12 yeas and one excused.
Okay, and with that, House Bill 1316 will be tabled.
Thanks, Jamie.
Representative York, could you please check on Representative Marty? He's sounding a little groggy over there, and his answers, is he okay?
Is he okay? Is he drove in or he walked?
very well.
Okay, and with that, we have one more bill to handle here this morning, but with crossover day tomorrow, we have legislators all over the place, and so we are going to go into recess here for a few minutes until he can get here. Let's come back out of recess here. Let's get back on it. We're going to come to order. We have one more bill to take care of, House Bill 1162, remove the definition of a loaded firearm. Is there any proponent testimony? Welcome, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I have some handouts. Mr. Chair and the committee members, my name is Kevin Jensen, Representative from District 16. A little bit of background on this bill. I introduced a bill in judiciary that was a three-section bill, and that bill failed over there. But the third section was what we're going to address today. I had the repeal of loaded firearm definition in this committee based on the other passing. But that section three, judiciary actually asked me to bring it back. The entire committee asked me to bring that back as a standalone bill. By the time we got through the drafting, it was too late to move it back to that committee. So you get to hear me. It's very simple. Right now, I'll wait for the handouts maybe while I do a little bit of background. The definition of a loaded firearm has been in question by the courts for a long time. What is actually loaded? What's considered loaded? When you get the... you're going to get a person hasn't got down to the end there yet. In this picture here, what I'd like to describe is what the current law says. And the current law is, or the current definition of loaded firearm happens to be in Title 41 or Game Fish and Parks. Now, the interesting thing is nowhere in Game Fish and Parks code, nowhere is a loaded firearm referenced. It's not there. And I've searched it, LRC has searched it. So we have a definition of a loaded firearm in Game Fish and Parks, and the only place it's used is in 2214.7, which is the bill or the law that says it's illegal to have a loaded firearm while you're intoxicated. That's the only place in our entire code where a loaded firearm is mentioned. So, again, 41-1-115, loaded firearm, is not only in the wrong place, it should be in crimes in Chapter 22 because that's where it's referenced, but it's wrong. It's technically wrong. That's what happens when you use vernacular language to create law. The technical descriptions, if you look at the picture, a clip and a magazine. I'm a firearms instructor. I've been a shooter for my whole life. I'm a firearms instructor for over 30 years. A clip and a magazine are not the same thing. A clip merely holds ammunition to feed into a magazine. If you're familiar with the AR-15, if you look at the picture, the clip on the left, of course, those are 7.62 by 39s, but they're not 223s, but that is a clip. A clip merely holds ammo. That's it. A clip cannot feed a firearm. So when you look at the current definition, it says an implement capable of discharging a projectile containing cartridges, shells, or projectiles in either the chamber, clip, or magazine. So if you read this and you really want to be if you really want to push your limits as a state's attorney, you could say, I have an empty revolver and an AR-15 stripper clip. Those two together could be considered a loaded firearm, which is silly. It's silly. But we have state's attorneys that have struggled with this for a long time, what is loaded. So the simple answer is, a firearm is not loaded till there's a round in the chamber. Until there's a round in the chamber, it cannot be fired. It physically cannot go bang. So think about it like your car. Your car is sitting in the driveway, and it's full of gas. And think about the key being the chamber. Your car won't run until you turn the key. You can have all the, you can have a full tank of gas and it will never go anywhere. But until you turn that key and put gas into the engine and start it, it won't run. Same thing's true with a handgun. So if you have an empty chamber, even if the round is and if even if you have rounds or cartridges in the magazine, it's not capable of firing until you perform another action. You actually have to charge that chamber with a round. So technically, a loaded firearm is, by pure definition, is a round in the chamber and ready to fire. So all I'm really asking to do is to clean up the language and describe the loaded firearm as loaded with a round in the chamber. And even though if you look at the bill, it looks, you got like four pages of strikeouts and red. And the only reason we had to do that in the amendment, in fact, I believe I should ask you to move the amendment because the amendment now is as I described. I'm sorry, I should have done that first.
So that's fine.
C, correct, C.
Okay, it has been moved by Representative Chase and seconded by Representative Ladner to move Amendment C. Is everybody 1162C? Everybody's up on that? No questions? Okay. This is a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now we are amended officially.
Okay. Thank you very much. I just wanted to explain that all that verbiage in there simply does what I in the handout. It just basically corrects the definition and moves it from game fishing parks to crimes where it belongs. So with that, I would stand down for questions, and I think we have more proponent testimony.
Thank you, Representative. I'm going to have one of the pages give you this sheet if you want to sign in.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Is there further proponent testimony to House Bill 1162C as amended? Welcome.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Justin Bell. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. I was one of the people that was involved with the prior bills that the prime sponsor of this bill spoke about, and there were some concerns about all that it did, but we were strongly in favor of what would be this more narrow component that would define a firearm. There has been, I'm aware of several cases where there's been confusion about what exactly that means and doesn't mean, and we believe that this is a really accurate description. I certainly am not going to challenge the prime sponsor for a knowledge of the vernacular for this and firearms in general, quite frankly. But I do know that this is a good definition. It's compliant with what the law really, I think, should be and was intended to be, but was never uniformly applied. So we would strongly be in favor of this legislation, and I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1162C. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the House Ag Committee. My name is Brian Gosh, registered lobbyist of the National Rifle Association of America. Don't need to pile on with much more information other than for those who hunt, you know, the common practice would be to leave your shotgun shells in the magazine with the action open as you transport yourself or others from one field to another. And this would clean that up and make it consistent with how people actually hunt fields. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony in House Bill 1162. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to House Bill 1162C? Any opponent? We have nothing online?
Avery? No?
Okay. All right. So, with that, we don't need a rebuttal. Right? Okay, so let's go into committee questions. Are there any committee questions? Representative Vascar.
For Representative Jensen. So for definition of loaded firearm, a revolver, do all the chambers have to be empty or just one then?
Every hole in a cylinder in a revolver is a chamber. So one cartridge in any chamber can be considered loaded, yes. Representative Kevin Jensen, by the way. Thank you.
You good? Further questions? Representative Blair.
I move due pass House Bill 1162.
Okay, it has been moved by Representative Blair and seconded by Representative Marty to do pass House Bill 1162C. Any discussion on your motion?
Yeah, I appreciate the representative bringing this forth. It cleans up language, defined, so we're all in compliance. We understand how this works. Thank you for bringing it. So I think it's a good bill.
Okay, further comment? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second to move House Bill 1162C as due pass to the floor. And with that, the secretary will call the roll.
Representative Blair.
Aye.
Chase.
Aye.
Fink. Excused. Goodwin.
Aye.
Ladner.
Aye.
Lesmeister. Excused. Marty.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Baskard.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Overwig.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 11 yeas and 2 excused.
Okay, so receiving the amount of votes that needed, House Bill 1162C will do pass to the floor.
I want to talk about this on the House floor.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if we can. Do you want to talk about this floor? Do you want us to try to put it on consent? What do you want us to do? I guess the chair's okay going consent, and if someone wants to pull it off, that's their. Any objections if the chair puts it on consent? Okay, we'll put it on consent. Thank you. Okay, with that, our business for today is done. I appreciate all the hard work the committee did. I never thought we'd be in this position the day before crossover day, but we got all our bills over and done. So great work, everybody. And with that, I'll take a motion. It's been moved by Representative Chase and seconded by Representative Hoffman to adjourn. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.